Good morning, kings and queens, wise and shy. Today, opportunity and favor awaits you. I'm Coach Deb. Welcome to Reveal and Heal. I'm so glad that you can make it this morning. I have an amazing guest today, Miss Vernetta Holly, aka Lady V. Everybody know Lady V? She's very, very vocal about her beliefs and about where God is taking her. You want to hear her story today. She's going to talk about her testimonies. She is the comeback kid for real. You know that the topic of this morning's, the topic of this morning's thing is don't call it a comeback. And you know, when I come up with these themes, Vernetta, I always pray about it. And that fits you because you have overcome a whole lot. So to all of you that are listening, please go ahead, tag your friends, tag your neighbors, tag your enemies, tag anybody where the blood is running warm in the veins because they need to hear her story. If they're struggling and they're feeling like I can't make it, Vernetta is going to share life-altering testimonies where God has brought her from and where she is today. New week, new goals. Welcome, 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 Lady V. How you doing?
Thank you so much. I am just doing amazing. You know what? It is just such an honor and a pleasure to sit here and share this screen with you. I've been watching you for years. I admire you. I have to just take a minute or two and just admonish the woman that I see in you, the woman of God. I've always admired the fact that you and I, you know, we kind of started off around the same time having babies, and yes, we went through our trials and our tribulations with our babies and our husbands and our yes, life growing up. And, you know, but I watched you, Deborah, and I watched you, sister, and I watched you, you know, hold on to God's unchanging hands no matter what, whereas I backslid and I went through all kind of stuff and I came back, I bounced back, but you never, ever waved. And I just want you to know that, and I want the world to know that, that you have been a mentor for me. I may have not always been around in Cartersville. I may not have always been in Georgia, but I've always watched you and admired you, and I've always felt your blessings and felt your prayers. And I know that you've always kept me right yeah, here. And I just yeah, want to thank you. And I appreciate that. This is an honor for me to even be here. You've been asking me for what, like 3 years?
Oh my gosh. Because you know, I'm always trying to use a platform where we can come together and heal a nation, you know? Yes. But of course, now listen, your story, Jesus.
Girl, which
it's
part?
Amazing. I know you have many, but I really want you to talk about, you know, where the how you came through the cancer. And oh, now that the Lord has blessed you with an opportunity to help you keep your body in a place to where you yes, can maintain healthiness. Because see, it's one thing for God to heal us and bring us out, but what are we going to do? See, it's got to be maintenance, whether it's mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically.
You better preach, girl.
Yes. So I want yes, you to share what God has done for you and share what it is that you're doing, because I want others to know.
Yes. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to say that this is great that we're talking about this, because this is directly in line with what my mission is and what I feel my purpose is to why God raised me up. And let's just go back. You want to hear about the cancer and how I beat it. I want to talk right, about, you know, my whole experience with the C word. You know, I have it's personal to me. It's personal to me, this cancer that flags and plagues my family. You know, this is, you know, different families deal with different generational curses as it relates to disease as well, not mm-hmm, just spiritual curses, but as it relates to diseases, you know. And in my family, I truly feel this cancer because, you know, I sat and wrote down all the names, you know, when I was going through cancer, all the people who had had cancer in my family. I think I came up with 23 family members had been diagnosed with cancer in my family in the last 25 years, 18 are deceased. And a few of us are still, you know, in what they call remission, but I never claimed remission. I said healing or nothing.
Amen.
And so, because remission means that, hey, you just for a minute and it'll come back. And mm-hmm, I like to say that most of those family members, I know, I think all of them as supposed to, except for one, and that was my cousin, not didn't have a chance to get to the chemo or the radiation, but they all went through radiation and chemo.
and they all still died. My mother went through it twice. She had cancer twice. It came back and killed her the third time. So my thing is this, what is this thing? I'm not going to accept this. I'm not just going to accept my family being attacked by this. And it's just nothing that me and God can do about it. And then cancer attacks me. Oh no, it's real personal. So let's just fast forward and go back a little bit and talk about where it first started traumatizing me. Where my trauma first began with this word cancer, the secret silent killer. The thing that people are walking around with right now is swimming around in their bodies and they don't even know, because I really had no symptoms other than just being a little sleepy. Just a little sleepy, a little tired. And a lot of people are dealing with that every day. So who would know that that was cancer? My mammograms were up to par. My checkups were up to par. I was under doctor's care. I had just buried my mother. But let's go back. I was in the studio recording my first little album. This one right here. Probably dirty, but look. I was in the studio recording that. When my sisters called me and said, the name of that is Demolition of Evil. And my sister called me from Vegas and said my daddy was sick and he had cancer and I needed to come out there. I went out there and to make a long story short, I had to go back 30 days later and he was in hospice. I sat with my father for 13 days in hospice until he expired. You talking about the mental and emotional oppression and depression that I had to go through, that sitting in that hospice, nobody else on that whole hallway for 13 days and 13 nights, you know, walking around well, everybody in the rooms were sick. And my daddy, after my daddy passed on March 31st, 2011, I had came back to Georgia, trying to get my mind back right from that, trying to get together. Get back in the studio to try to finish the little album. My cousin, not 8 months later, I'm at Kennerstone Hospital right there with him when this stuff started going on. Okay, he passed away November 4th, 2011. Okay, 8 months later, my mother. It was too much for me. And it's still too much. But I thank God that he's given me my purpose for the experience.
Right.
See, if we understand that we have, that you know, that our purpose is in perfect alignment, our experience is in perfect alignment with our purpose, that's what helped me get through it. But you talking about painstaking. And then I come to Connecticut because I was sick 2 weeks after my mother passed with breast cancer, after having it three times. And I come to Connecticut because I had thyroiditis disease and Georgia wouldn't give me health care. I tried to get health care down there to get the surgery. They kept denying me 18 times in 22 months. I went everywhere, Grady, Wellstar, State, they wouldn't help me. I came to Connecticut 2 weeks after my mother died. 3 months later, I had the surgery. 3 years later, 3.5 years later, I get diagnosed with breast cancer. Oh, it's real personal now. For real. The devil's gonna come after me like that. Okay, so let me show you when the devil come after me like that. God didn't prep me for fight for nothing. He didn't, Deborah. I'd like to have lost my life fighting. I just got off of death row. I ain't playing no games.
Amen.
I studied to why, where does cancer come from? What is this demon that's stalking my family? And I put the due diligence in. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved.
Come on now.
It's not just talking about the word of God. It's talking about life itself. Study what you're doing and ingesting in your body. So I went to studying and reading and, you know, always attached myself to nutritional companies anyway. So a lot of the stuff that I learned back in, you know, Herbalife years and all that stuff, it was just reflecting back in my mind. The body is in an acidic state, it's going to be sick. If the body's in an alkaline state, it's going to get well. Sickness and disease and cancer cannot live in an alkaline body. So it's simple. What do we do to alkaline our body? And I said, Lord, have mercy. Help me. Because it's very hard to keep our bodies in an alkaline state in this country. Because there's a spirit in America
that makes you want to eat the wrong foods. And we're all subjected to that. Fat and sugar is the most addictive substance on the face of the earth, even more so than drugs. And you got the parishioners and the churches and everybody, they condone it. But we have to stand up. And I'm gonna share something with you. My fight with cancer, I found out that I had cancer because I had just come back from Georgia for my youngest daughter, Natalie, who's now a senior at Georgia State. But she was just graduating from high school. And I went down to Georgia and I come back to Connecticut. 2 weeks later, my niece gets killed in Georgia. Devastated me. My ex-husband, Tommy, his sister, Frida, her daughter, my niece, my baby, Ashley, got killed. Who's the same age as my daughters? Devastated me. I was in Connecticut screaming and hollering and crying. I didn't have the money to get back to Georgia. I was devastated. My kids were screaming and hollering and crying. I drove myself to the emergency room because I knew my blood pressure was up. I go in the emergency room, my blood pressure was sky high. They kept me, did MRIs on me. The next morning they let me go. They say, Miss Holly, you didn't have a stroke. That's amazing. You didn't have a stroke. Go home and relax. We're going to call you with your results. The Friday they called me, that was on a Thursday. Friday they called me and said, Miss Holly, we see a spot underneath your arm. Doesn't look good. We saw it on the MRI. I said, what are you talking about? He said, we see a spot under your right arm that we saw on the MRI. We have you scheduled for a biopsy. It was just like that. So I was like, okay. I was back at the hospital that Monday morning for the biopsy and boom, it was just gone after that. So, you know, the chemo, in my opinion, for what I went through, my plan was to have 26 treatments of chemo and 30 treatments of radiation and then a full-fledged surgery. It was going to be chemo first, surgery second, then radiation. So we started, I mean, as soon as they found out it was cancer and it was right at the third stage and it was growing rapidly, it was under my lymph nodes, under my right arm, and it was growing, growing, growing. They immediately decided to put the port in my chest the very next morning. I mean, the very next morning, they said, Ms. Holly, you don't have a day. You don't have a week to think. I was like, wait a minute, hold up. What are you talking about? Let me think about it. Ms. Holly, you don't have the time. You don't have the time, Ms. Holly. Cancer grows a million times a day. You don't have time to think about it. We've got to get this port in your chest. So the next morning I'm laying on the table screaming and hollering and crying because they didn't put me to sleep to put the port in my chest. You don't want this. I tell people they don't want this. Most people die from cancer because it's so invasive. Mm-hmm. It's so horrific in every area of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Everything's being attacked at one time. And if you don't have a real good support system in every arena,
talk about it.
Most people will pass away, not from the cancer, but from the lack of support. So if you don't have a strong mind where you're used to supporting yourself without your cheering, you'll die. And so I'm so thankful for this and this alone, well, amongst other things, but I'm very thankful that God has taught me how to encourage myself. Amen. God has taught me how to, you know, stand alone and know that He is God and nobody else's approval is needed. Because when I was going, let's go back. So they put the port in my chest. I'm laying on the table. They got me looking up at the sky, at kids' paintings on the sky so I could get my mind off of what they were doing. It wasn't working. They're cutting my chest open to put a machine in my chest. A little machine, a little box with a long tube. The tube goes up to your artery, your main artery to your neck, and the other tube goes down into your heart. Down into your heart. Yes. Am I asleep while they're doing this? No. They said it couldn't put me to sleep because they don't know the intents of the cancer, how far it spread it. They don't know if my body could handle anesthesia. So you got to lay there while they cut your chest open and put the port in
and then sew it back up on the inside. Then you got to show up the next morning for chemo. The very next morning, because the cancer is spreading. So I showed up. I'm looking around, it's another whole world. You're looking around and it's people around you, young, old, mostly Black, but young, middle-aged, old, but all races, but mostly Black, I noticed. Broke my heart. Young women suffer from cervical cancer. Older women suffer from breast cancer. I saw it. They got the cute little cubicles that you sit in that swing the TV. Okay, so my plan was to have 26 treatments of chemo. On my 13th chemo, I had a major grand mal seizure, allergic reaction from the chemo. Flipped out the bed at 2:30 in the morning. I woke up on the floor in my house, on the floor, couldn't move. Had a full excursion of vomit and bowel movement. Couldn't move, didn't know what was going on. I reached and pulled my cord when my phone was and called my daughter. I said, Tiffany, I done fell out the bed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how I got on the floor. Make a long story short, she said, call 911. I'll be there in a minute. She beat 911. They showed up at the same time. When they had gotten there, it was just the Lord. I, to this day, don't know how I did it. The pain was so excruciating. I had broken my back. Jesus. I had six broken vertebrae in my back, but I still had a little pride. You know what I mean? I was trying to get to the bathroom, which was next door to my room before the ambulance got there, and I could hear them. As soon as I hit 911, I could hear the sirens because I didn't live that far from Yale. I could hear the sirens, you know? And so I said, oh my God, they're going to come in here and see this bowel movement all over me. They're going to see my vomit. So I flipped over. I said, Lord, help me. I flipped over and I got on my knees and I pulled myself to the bathroom with my knees, on my knees, screaming every pool, just screaming. The doctors were upset about that because they said I could have crippled myself. So I got over in the bathtub. I turned the shower on. I just laid in the bathtub. And I guess I passed out. I don't remember hardly too much after that. I just remember they was getting me on the stretcher and I was up on the third floor and it was like maybe about 40 inches of snow outside. It was crazy. It was snow everywhere. And so I remember them towing me down and getting me to Yale. I remember just being cold from coming out the water and they wrapped me in a blanket. And I remember getting there and I guess I went into a coma. When I woke up, the doctor was tapping me on my hand saying, Miss Ollie, come to. She was ordering all kind of medicine to put in my port. And then I just heard her order this medicine. And I heard her say, enter it into her port. We're losing her. And I opened my eyes like that when she said that. When I opened my eyes, she was in my face and she said, Miss Ollie, we like to lost you. Oh my God. We like to lost you. They went on and did another chemo. The next week, I had another seizure. So they decided to stop it after 14 key treatments. I couldn't do the 26. That chemo will kill you. And I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, Deborah, I think chemo is just a man's made form of a liquid of, it's just a liquid laxative because I stayed on the toilet and I kept a bucket in front of me the whole time. I threw that cancer up. So this is why I talk about my Vasea tea. This is why I say detox your body. Drink that tea every night and your body will be flushed. Listen to me. I was so sick. But I prayed and I asked God, Deborah, when I was laying there with a broken back in a body cask with morphine being dripped into my veins. I couldn't even move my head like this. I was in so much pain. But I remember just laying there praying and I said, God, if you raise me up, if you raise me up, Lord, I promise you I will tell the story. I promise you that I will do what I can do to help other people not have to go through this because it's horrific. And the thing that hurt me the worst about having cancer, because my mother was very private with her cancer treatment, Deborah, she she didn't share with me. I never got to go to chemo with her. I never got to go to radiation with her. I never got to be there when she was talking to the doctors about her treatment. She didn't let me and my brother know that part. She kept it to herself, you know? So when I was going through this stuff, I was saying, wait a minute, hold up. My mama went through this. Hold up. You had to cut my mama's chest up. Wait a minute. I couldn't believe it. And then she went through it twice. My mother was a soldier. She was a soldier. But I truly believe this right here, that it wasn't that I didn't want my family to be with me, but I didn't. They wanted to be with me. They were calling. They wanted to come fly out. Netta, you want us to come? No. I didn't. For a couple of reasons. Number one is that I know that my family is from Georgia and from Vegas, hot climates. This would put them in shock right now. I didn't have time to deal with them worried about how cold it was. Oh, the snow, how are we gonna get to the hospital? I didn't have time to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't deal with that. And then them crying, you know, because when I call them on the phone, they crying. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I can't deal with that right now. Just let me do this. What's going to happen is going to happen. But I'm going to go through it like a soldier that God ordained me to be. You know, if I got to die, and I said that in the song that I did, you know, about breast cancer. It's on YouTube. I have a YouTube page. It's called Lady V Holly, H-O-L-L-E-Y. And on that page, that was the first song that I uploaded to my YouTube page, was the breast cancer song. I did that song because it encouraged myself. Sometimes, you know, God taught me that I have to encourage myself because I don't have a fan base that would encourage me when I needed the encouragement. I had people telling me to agree with some of the things that God was giving me, a checkmate, telling me no. For example, they kept asking me to let them cut my breast off. Not just the one that was supposed to be infected with the cancer, but they wanted me to remove both of my breasts. So what did I do? I went and asked all my family. I mentioned it to my family, you know, everybody. Everybody said, let them cut them off. Let them cut them off, Annetta. Let them cut them off if it's going to save your life. It's not going to save my life. It's not. Because I would surely die if I looked down and I ain't got my breast and I'm still here. The oppression and the mindset alone would take me out. So I'd never forget that every time I went to chemo, my surgeon, Dr. Lennon, he would send a woman to come and talk to me that had her breast removed and rebuilt. So I'm sitting there in chemo with a port in my chest, dripping the medicine in my chest, sick, already sick, not wanting to eat, not nothing, just don't even want to be bothered. And here comes this lady, sent by the doctor, showing me her cleavage, and I'm sitting there in chemo, and they sending people to me to persuade me to have my breasts removed. So guess what I did? I said, no, I can't. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. God didn't tell me that. So finally, he was very rude to me, I thought. And he said, Miss Holly, what is the big deal about you not getting your breasts removed? Real rude to me in front of the nurses, everything. He said, what is the big deal about you not getting your breasts removed? You've already had your babies. Aren't your children already born? You're not going to have any more kids, right? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, Deborah. I couldn't believe you had said that to me. So I looked at him. Can I tell you what I said to him?
You free, honey. Speak your piece.
I said to him, sir, I'm sure you've had all your kids too, right? Because you look older than me. I said, why don't you remove your scrotum and see how your penis works. When I said that, he walked out the room. He came back 2 days later and said, I didn't need to have my breast removed. They looked at my pathology report and everything looked great. But I had to fight them demons trying to mutilate my body under a medical advice. So my point in saying all that is to say this. Sometimes you got to stand alone with what God shows you. And I'm cancer free today with both of my breasts.
How about that?
And I'm healthy. And that doctor right there loves me to death. My oncologist, she loves me. Dr. Samp, she loves me. I've sung at Yale, the hospital. I've given my testimony. And you know what? I see how the devil try to come back at me, like with the food and the sweets and the, you know, that is the devastation. I can't go there. I'm so thankful, Deborah, that I know how to cry out to the Lord when I need to.
Amen.
When I need to. You know, people look at me and they say, well, Vanetta this, Vanetta that, Vanetta this, Vanetta that. But you know what, Deborah? They did the same thing to Jesus, John the Baptist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. None of them perfect in the eyes of the Christians. I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm just trying to be on point with where God would have me to be at this moment in my life. I'm thankful that at 58 years old that I can see I have a foundation and I have a purpose and a mission to why I had to hurt so much. And when you can take all that pain that I've experienced in my life from losing my parents alone and dealing with their sickness and my family and just the things I've had to deal with and deal with my own sickness and trying to rebirth my body back because chemo and radiation took me through some stuff. I gained 101 pounds on chemo alone, just on chemo, because they were putting steroids in my chest every week. Every week, I was getting a dose of steroids, a syringe that big around and that long. Was I eating a lot? I was eating nothing. Maybe a red apple and a little bit of granola. That's all I can remember eating the whole time I had cancer. So it messed my body up. I was left with severe neuropathy, severe arthritis. I'm thankful for a man named Kenny Lord who came up with a company named Tava, who I remember he was the underdog to so many people when he decided to walk away from certain companies because of certain things. The spirit wasn't right. Same reason I walked away from Herbalife International, which is why I owe you an apology. And I want to talk about that. I owe you an apology, Deborah. And I want to give you that apology right here on your show. Because I remember back in 1996, 95. Was it 95?
It was 95.
And I had a clothing store and a daycare business where I had put about maybe $60,000, $70,000 in putting together.
Mm-hmm.
Kids Depot, you remember?
That's right.
And I was standing up on the podium in my store. And I remember your beautiful face walked in. And I could see you because, you know, the windows were behind and you walked in. And you was looking, I remember looking at you and I was like, is that Deborah? Because you looked so amazing. It's like you had gone through this transformation from when I was used to seeing you. And then I don't know how many years it had been that I had seen you, but when I saw you that day, it was a ray of sunshine. It was like God had showed me that you had been touched.
After the abuse.
Huh?
It was after the abuse.
Oh, okay. It was after all of that. You had been touched, honey. You look good. And you had gotten on the products, Herbalife products.
That's right.
And you was looking amazing. And you came up to the counter. I said, Deborah, you look so good. You, and you told me what it was. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you said it had helped your asthma. And I that really sparked a thing in me, because my daughter Maria at that time was suffering with asthma and was always in the hospital. And I was praying and seeking God for something for her, because this child was so sick with asthma. She lived in Scottish Rite. So you had told me you had lost weight on this product and that your asthma was under control and your breathing was better and you had energy. And I was like, what? So I was anxious to buy the product. I was trying to get in contact with you. I couldn't get in contact with you. I said, well, I'm just going to go on and get the products from this person. I ain't going to do that. From this person. And as opposed to me waiting on God and waiting on you, I went left. I was pointing right, but I meant left. I went left and got with a whole demonic spirit. A whole demonic spirit, because, you know, they was there. They had the products. They threw them out. The availability for me to have it was right there. They brought it to me. And I got on the products and I got in the company and I made rank and I was published in a magazine and all that kind of stuff. But I went through tormental hell because I miss God. See, you can have a product. You can have a product, and if you don't have the right leadership and you didn't take the right direction, even with that product, you're still under a curse. And I owe you an apology to this day. And that's been 30 something. No, that was in 97. That's been
95. 20,
yeah, 95. And for that, I want to pay your way into this company.
Look at you.
I'm going to offer you this product on my expense. That's my offering to you. Would you accept that?
That is so kind. Who would give up the opportunity to try something that is working for you? I mean, look at you. You're shining like a diamond.
I feel amazing. It's like I have no pain, nowhere. I used to wake up in the morning and have to take a Percocet, a half of a Percocet, just to walk to the bathroom because the neuropathy in my feet was so bad, which I am convinced that that's parasites. It's really numb, you know, damaged nerves in the feet, but it's aggravated with parasites if your system is dirty. I took one drink of this tea and one dose of this Ballet 30. Let me tell you something. I was a brand new woman. It's like my heart. And see, this is what we don't understand as a people, that it took me to really, you know, God has given me like a new awakening and he's opening up things with this company. First of all, the name of this company is Tava, which means ark. God is putting us on the ark 2x2. Noah's God. You know how Noah was building the ark? And while he was building the ark, he was tempted. People was coming by. What are you doing? I could just imagine him in my mind. What are you doing, Noah? What are you doing? He just building the ark. It's going to rain. Y'all better come on, get on here. Well, look, it's already raining. It's raining COVID. And who are the people that are being affected by it more than our people, Deborah? Listen to me. I had COVID. I had it before I even knew about this. I had it out here in this house in Connecticut back in April. Went to Walmart, fine, came out sick. Couldn't even get out the car and get up the steps. I was so sick. Thank God it was some friends here that got me up in here and helped me. I had it for about 7 days. But I had been studying. Mm-hmm. And they were saying what to do when you get exposed to it and then before it hits your lungs. I'm sure I got it before it got up in my lungs. I had a little bit of breathing problems, but it was mostly the other stuff. I had all the other symptoms, spots on my legs. I had all the other symptoms. Headache, dizzy, fever, throwing up, diarrhea, pain, aching, the worst pain in the world. I had it. But I tell you what, God has me here for a purpose.
He does.
And I just pray, my everyday prayer is, Lord, let me walk in that purpose. Because you know what? Without that, life is not worth living for me. My parents are gone, but I got children now. I'm a parent. I'm a grandmother. My children need me.
You're motivated by purpose.
I'm motivated by purpose. Without that purpose, and without a baton of hope that I can hand someone else so that they don't have to go through what I went through. I don't ever want any of my friends or my enemies alike to ever have to get their chest cut open with a board. And you know the worst part of finding out about cancer? The biopsy. You ain't even got into treatment. I didn't even talk about the biopsy. When they got to stick a needle this long somewhere, wherever they think the cancer is, inside of you. You ain't getting numb. They gave me 7 shots to numb me. It don't numb. If cancer is there, it ain't going to numb. I don't want anybody to go through that ever. Ever. I don't want anybody to go through their kidneys failing, their heart stopping from having cholesterol in their heart. People don't understand that's what heart attacks are. You got fat and sugar in your blood. Our body is 80% made of water. And I'm compelled to talk to people about feeling better. You know, people come in my inbox all the time and say, why are you so fanatic about that? You got to die from something. Well, you know what? It's not about the dying for me. It's about the living. I don't want to live sick.
Right.
Who wants to live and be in pain? Who wants to, you can't even go to the bathroom because your feet hurting so bad. I've been there. When I had cancer and I broke my back, let me tell you something. I had all the medical equipment in my house. I had the shower chair in the shower. I had the potty in my bathroom, in my bedroom next to my bed. I had crutches. I had the walker. I had the body cast. You know what I did, Deborah? I took that body cast off. Soon as I could get up and get in my car, I took it to the Salvation Army and threw it away. I'm not doing that. You know what they told me? Miss Holly, if you don't let us do that surgery on your back right now, why I had cancer? You're going to be crippled. You're not going to be able to walk, Miss Holly. That's what they told me. You know what I told them? I said, well, since you're so smart and you're highly educated in everything and you see that, I said, let's do it like this. Wait until I'm crippled and then you get me to walk again. Do y'all see me dancing on my videos? Do you see me moving? The devil is a liar.
It's clear.
And he'll use people in power to lie to you.
Yes.
And we're in the last days. You better look out. And then he'll have the parishioners and the people looking at people like me or you who's speaking the real deal, and they'll try to categorize us as outcasts. Mm. But that's common. That's common, though. That's right in alignment with what happened in the Bible.
Yes.
So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. My whole purpose is to hand someone the baton of hope, whether it be through encouraging them in their mindsets. Listen to me. Tell the devil he's a liar. That's my practice. Tell the devil he's a liar. Don't believe him. They told me I was going to be crippled. They told me I had to cut my breast off. They told me I would never lose weight in my hips because I had a thyroid issue and I take thyroid medicine. My hips done shrunk a lot since I've been drinking this tea. My doctor could not believe it today. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that my blood pressure was so leveled. Oh, and I had no blood pressure problems, heart problems, or nothing before chemo. So, you know, I don't know how much time we have, but I want to say this to you, Deborah, that I appreciate you. I appreciate you for giving me this platform just to let people know that, you know, people say life is short. Yeah, but life is beautiful. I love life. I love what God has given us. And I don't want to do the the thing that in the Bible where it says man will destroy himself, man himself will destroy himself from with our technology, our foods, our convenience. I want to reverse that. I want to prove to the Lord that I appreciate him raising me up and that I want to spend the rest of my life. And that's all. That's it. I want to be able to help people, bless people, and warn people. When I see, I have spiritual insight, Deborah. Mm. You know that. You've been knowing me for a long time. Sometimes I see stuff, and my biggest prayer out here in this sabbatical was, Lord, you know, get me to the point where I can let you use me only and my flesh can be aside. Because the problem that I have had is that, you know, I get so excited at what I see. And when I see that people don't respond, I start screaming through the flesh instead of through the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit. And that's where my thoughts come in. And I can admit that. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact of what I saw is what I saw. But it changes the fact of maybe how it's delivered. And I'm asking God to help me with that. And I ask God to give me something that would help me with the anxiety and the PTSD and the OCD that I was traumatized with through my parents' sickness and, you know, through the things you go through. I mean, you know, I'm talking to people right now who are burying their families. I'm talking to people right now who are going through, you know, dealing with probate court and, you know, things of that nature, and money situations after their parents die. It's not just the death. You got to deal with the monotony of all the stuff that follows behind it. I was in shock. I thank God that I have a product that can balance my blood sugar, balance my hormones, have me calm where I can deal with it now. So with that being said, I just appreciate what God is doing in my life right now. I wouldn't be complete, Deborah, if I couldn't share with somebody else. Amen. I'm not a selfish person. My biggest problem is I want to share with people. I want people to feel the goodness that I feel. One of the reasons that I sing, you know, one of the reasons that I sing because it makes me feel good when I sing. Right. It releases poisons, I think, and toxins and anxiety. And I want people to feel that music is a form of therapy.
Yes.
So I sung a lot through my cancer treatment. I sing a lot, you know, when I'm hurting, you know, like, you know, a couple of years ago when I came and I exposed how, you know, people have always tried to say I was lying about certain things and I exploded and I just, you know, I came out of character and I talked for 3 days just reading people. And it wasn't God the way I delivered it, but it was God what I delivered. And I came back and I wrote that song and I told him, I said, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to come back with a song that's going to cover all of that. And God gave me the words to the song. And I know he did because Deborah took me a week or so to learn it.
Right.
And that's how I know God gives me words to songs because I have to learn them after I write them. That song he gave me called Me Too because I was a victim I was a child that, you know, I felt wasn't protected, you know, because I had someone, my mother's second husband who was her, you know, my stepfather, I guess at the time, he was, you know, doing things to me that he shouldn't have been doing and I didn't feel protected. So I wrote this song. And it's called Me Too. And I named it Me Too because, you know, that's the movement name. When they was dealing right. with all the stuff with R. Kelly and all that stuff, they called it Me Too. So, you know, that song, when I did that song, Deborah, and I sung it and I released it, it was like, it felt amazing. And even now I'm writing a book. I didn't tell you that, did I?
No.
Girl, I'm writing a book. I got my publisher is working with me and I'm working on my book. And it's amazing how, you know, she advised me and we talked and I told her how I felt comfortable writing my book. Deborah, I had started writing a book 2 or 3 times and I couldn't finish it. But I decided to write my book in a poet form. So I'm writing it. It's amazing. It's coming out beautiful. But this Me Too song, what did you want me to sing, Deborah? You said you wanted me to sing.
we're coming to a close, so I do want you to sing a little bit of that, and I want you also to reintroduce yourself to the audience. I want you to tell them who you are. Those are the two things that I want from you before we close this morning. So if you could sing a little bit of that song and bless the hearts of the listeners.
Okay, you want me to tell them who I am first? Can I play my music on my song and play it on the phone? Will it be an echo? Will it be behind?
No, I don't think so. I think we'll be okay because it's the message. You know, it's the message that we're trying to convey. There are people that are listening that are real quiet right now. And they're like feeling like, you know, when you read something that's really powerful in the word, it's like a quiet moment. In the Bible, the word is called Selah. And that word means for you to just meditate on, you know, what you just read. And your story thus far is, it's like you are not jumping out the walls like you're on some type of candy. It's like you're trying to really just take in this real life true story that you have shared with us, such transparency, mercy to God, you have shared with us, you know.
I need a part two, Deborah, God. We got some other stuff we got to get up in, girl.
Yes, ma'am. I promise you a part two. But this here, for those that are used to drinking milk, girl, they working on some meat right now because this is meat that we chewing on. And you know how you just have to keep chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. That's what's going on because see what people have come to know, if they didn't know you before, if they didn't understand your energy, if they didn't understand, you know, why you're so full of life and why you're so unbothered and why you live your life unapologetically, they get it now. You've defeated death and the grave. So it's like, shame on anybody that dared to come for you in the future. You got this life, this bubbling, this care. Let them walk in your shoes after this. Let them walk in your shoes after this. So yes, ma'am, I do want you to reintroduce yourself to the people. Tell them who you are. You feel what I'm saying?
And I
want you to hear the song.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this song and then this other song. This is my favorite song right here. It's called My Testimony. It's like when I sing this song, it's like it just does something to me because it's really my true testimony. I feel like when I sung that song, it was like, okay, I'm arriving. I kind of want to sing a little of that song. But anyway, so my name is Vernetta E. Holly. And I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada in 1963 at the end of the strip. My mother brought me back to Georgia in 1965, 66. And I went from pre-K to college right there in Cartersville, Georgia. And when I left college, my grandmother had just passed my second year in college. I couldn't take it. I left Cartersville. And I've lived in Marietta, Smyrna, all over. Now I'm up in Connecticut part-time, been here 8.5 years. I am a singer and songwriter. I have 4 beautiful grown daughters from 34, 28, 26, 23. I have 6 beautiful grandchildren, 5 grandsons, 1 granddaughter. And I have a severe mission. And my mission is to try is in the fool of a dictionary right next to can't. My mother used to tell me that. I have to get healthy nutrition and education to the front door of every person that will allow me to. That is my purpose. My purpose is to educate my people on the fact that we don't have to be sick. We don't have to die sick either. We don't have to live sick. So with that being said, I am a singer, songwriter. She wants to, I think you're getting ready to close out. What song you want me to do, Deborah? Go to my YouTube page. My producer just actually revamped my YouTube page and I need some subscribers to go on there so that he can finish authenticizing it. But it is Lady, L-A-D-Y, V, Holly, H-O-L-L-E-Y. Just go in there and hit the subscribe button. I have about maybe 15 videos on there right now. I think about 11 of them are my songs. And these are songs that I just did. They're not copywritten or anything. I just did the songs. I heard that when you put them on here, they're copywritten, but I do have songs that are copywritten. Which song? Me Too or Testimony?
I definitely want, well, I have I heard a Testimony? Have
I love this one. It's my favorite.
They can go to the page to hear the other one. Go ahead.
Can you hear it?
Yes, it's clear.
See it?
Yes.
This here is my testimony. I'm gonna get down on it. It's my matrimony, keeping it real, never phony. My name is Lady B. Holly. I'm usually jolly. I live up in the North Pole, but ain't no cold known for letting it flow, flow, flow. And when I'm done, you go, no, no, no. That I don't do roller coasters or merry-go-rounds. I'm humble, people really be vibing my sounds. I'm a walking miracle. In God, I'll always trust. When I'm feeling blue, when I'm having issues, I know who to run to. It's not you. You left me hanging. You left me thinking. You left me rearranging, boo. Now you want to say you stepped up to the plate. And if you did, you were always late. Coming back with your kibbles and bits. When you know I deserve Carlton Ritz. It's funny how people try to play games and then got the nerve to use God's name in vain. Tick tock, I'm chilling, flicking my beak. I'm recognizing all your old school tricks. You can think I don't know God if you want to. Hide and watch and see what my faith is about to do. Yes, I seen it, I saw it, I felt it, I fought it. No more running, I'm ordained, I'm anointed. Put this on your checklist. Sometimes I come reckless. Pray and check my references, cause you don't wanna mess with this. Just say I'm a she David, easily aggravated with giants who talk too much with no alliance. Yeah, I keep my slingshot ready. Pick up my pebbles and aim real, real steady. It's just a dick that's just installed in me. And if you know me, you already know, you already see. You can think I don't know God if you want to. Hide and watch and see what my faith is about to do. Yes, I seen it, I saw it, I felt it, I fought it. No more running, I'm ordained, I'm anointed. Hey, living my lesson, no, I seen it, I'm a soldier. Front line banging from my God, I already told you. No, it's not about me feeling myself. I'm just shouting the truth until my death. Making it happen. Party red seeds like Moses.
I'm sorry.
Red roses. Waiting on you. No more holding my breath and turning blue. You can think I don't know God if you want to. Hide and watch and see what my faith is about. I love that song because it just builds my faith when I sing it. You know what I mean? It builds my own faith in God when I sing that song.
I love it, Renetta. Listen, love, go ahead and tell everybody to follow you on all social media and also to go to your YouTube page so they can hear all your selections.
Yes, go to my YouTube page. You can follow me at Lady V, L-A-D-Y-V, like Victory, Vegas, Bernetta, Holly, H-O-L-L-E-Y. You can hit me up, hit the subscribe button. It's free. We're going to have a lot of stuff coming out. My YouTube page is being just got revamped. My computer is on the way. I'm going to be sitting before you doing all kinds of shows. You can hit me up on Facebook at Bernetta E. Holly, that's where I am. Instagram is Vernetta E. Holly. Snapchat is Lady V. Holly. Just hit me up on all platforms. All right. God bless you. Thank you. It was a plum pleasing pleasure. Deborah, we're going to get together and get your package on the way to you. Thank you.
Let me just thank you for being just real. I wasn't expecting anything less. I wanted you to bring who you are. I wanted people to to actually be introduced to the real authentic Vornetta. Because sometimes when we do lives and things, you know, we do things for entertainment purposes because we want to draw people in and we want to make their day. But I wanted them to know who you are from the roots. You know what I'm saying? I wanted you to reintroduce yourself for them to realize why you have all this energy. Understand who you are and whose you are. So I want to thank you for coming and gracing the presence of Reveal and Heal. Monday morning motivation quote, my setbacks may have amused you, but my comebacks are going to confuse you.
Wow. That fits my life.
Yes. Happy Motivation Monday to those of you that are listening. It's new weeks and new goals. You know, this is Reveal and Heal. You can't heal unless you reveal. Coach Dale. Have an amazing day. Thank you so much, love.
Thank you. And I love you. I love you to life. Thank you.